You are listening to Ron Van Dam, America's favorite grumpy old fart.
I'm fed up to hear with your crap.
I'm not sure if he's talking to me or all of us. It's probably all of us. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, that's enough.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one in the middle. I'll be joining you for the next 17 hours. Actually, make it half an hour. How are you? What day of the week is it? Quick, you don't know. You have no idea. What'd you have for dinner last night? Tell me quick. You don't know. You can't remember anything anymore. The only good thing that came out of the last colonoscopy that I had, I did have a colonoscopy recently, and the only good thing that came out of it was I actually found my car keys. Oh, excuse me, they don't have car keys anymore. I found my fob. My fob. What the hell is that? Wouldn't it be great if it were acceptable to be able to say to people, okay, that's enough? Wouldn't that be great? What a wonderful experience that would be. Someone's talking to you. How are you? I'm fine. Yesterday I went to the cabin and we stayed up there with the wife and the kids and we had a great time and then we went boat. All right, wait a minute. That's enough. That would be great. But it doesn't work like that, does it? No, we have to be. I was watching the Newlywed Game on television because I basically have no life and there's nothing else to do. And one of the questions was, if your wife asked you, do I look fat in these clothes, would you actually tell her? Nobody would, because that's a death sentence. If you ever want to lose your life on the spot, you tell somebody that they look fat when they ask you. And you might say to yourself, why are you asking me if you look fat if you think I may answer yes, you do? And the reason is because I feel like killing somebody today. So here's a leading question. I don't know. I have no idea. I was thinking yesterday, why do they call that menopause? That thing that women have where all of a sudden their body changes completely at a certain age or in a certain age period time. Men don't have that because they have absolutely no metaphysical substance whatsoever that could even change. But women have a lot of stuff going on in there. They got a lot of stuff going on. They can actually produce children. Deliver children, grow inside you. That's a lot of stuff going on. A guy, I may go down to the store and buy some cheese. That's it. That's all they do. I'm going to go to the gym today and work on my abs. That's it. Nothing else going on. Nothing. Yeah, maybe when they get a little older, they grow a little bit of a punchy stomach. But beyond that, nothing much going on there. A woman, she's got all the time this stuff going on with the body. You check this, check out. Make sure these aren't getting, make sure you put those in a vise. Make sure this and that. Oh, now I got to, it's a monthly problem I got. And they're there when I'm going to have a baby. My back hurts from having a baby. I mean, there's a lot going on for a woman. I've said this in the morning. When a woman gets up in the morning, she doesn't just put her clothes on and go outside. She's got to put on all the artistic makeup. She has to be a Van Gogh on her face. She's got to, that didn't sound right, did it? She's got to be a Rembrandt on her face. That sounded better. Go on her face. That didn't, Van Gogh on her face. No, that's not good. That's not good. That didn't sound right. But she's got to go through all that. I can't go outside until I put my face on. You got a lot going on. Yeah, so this menopause, and I think the meno part has to do with a change. I think it's Aristotle that came up with that phrase. Check me out, but I believe that's the case. I don't know why Aristotle got involved in that, but apparently he did. But it represents the fact that a woman's body changes a lot. And but why is it menopause? It has nothing to do with men whatsoever. It should be womanpause, but it isn't. Because there's nothing from the Greek or the Latin that makes any sense in it. Yeah, everything in medicine, all our derivatives come from the Greek or the Latin. That's about it. The only thing that comes from the American would be the phrase, whatever. That's it. We got nothing else here. The Greeks and the Latins were walking around figuring all these prefixes for words that could develop someday. It was amazing, actually. I don't know. I don't live in the past. I don't know what happened then. But I honor women completely because they got a lot of stuff going on. You got to check various parts of your body with the doctor continually. I always used to think that, oh my God, men have to have colonoscopies. So do women. I honor them. I really do. I do. It's a constant thing. But women are the superior race, so they do get that. Wrong, they're not the superior race. They couldn't even vote till very long ago. Now they're going to take the rights of their body away from them legislatively with these abortion things. Yeah, they go through a lot of stuff. They really do. But they are the superior race. And you know why? Because they're more attractive than men. Every woman is attractive in her own right. Every man, not so much. You peel that layer away from the man, that dirt layer, you got basically nothing inside except for maybe a good sense of humor. Other than that, ain't got much going for the guy. Woman's got everything going for her. She's got intelligence. She's got beauty. Yeah, she's got it. And she's got the ability to deny you of your pleasure. So, you know, I think women had that power a long time ago. They just were fooled by the men, you know, like Trump fooling everybody. Same kind of thing going on. Is this getting a little too deep for you? Did you not tune into this show in order to hear this kind of stuff? I understand. I get it. I get what you're talking about. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. We're going to be talking about a lot of people aren't buying houses because the interest rates are going up, especially if you're just coming out of college and you're a young adult. You got no choice but to rent. You don't have enough for a down payment on a house nor the mortgage, so you have to rent. And that's a problem these days, too. There was this thing called a pandemic. Have you heard about this? Oh, I read it in the paper. There was a thing that started a couple of years ago, and it was called Covete? Covete? No, that's extra virgin olive oil. COVID. That's it. I had read about it a little bit. So it's been around for like almost over 2 years now. And apparently it changed the way that we conduct our lives, and it still is. But one of the greatest changes would be like where people live, and they're working out of their homes, which is not easy if you work at McDonald's. I guess you can't pull that off if you work at McDonald's or Wendy's. Well, you can't pull anything off if you work at McDonald's or Wendy's. But you can't work from home. If you're a stewardess, I'm sorry. If you're a flight attendant, whew, that was close. I almost said stewardess by mistake. If you're a flight attendant, it's difficult to work from home. You can't give people instructions about the airplane from your living room, so it's difficult. Excuse me, can I get a pillow for my head? I'm sorry, I'm working from home. I can't do that. So not everything, I suppose. I can work from home. I always have. Not always, actually. I used to be in a studio every single freaking morning, which was wonderful because I could assimilate with the rest of the human beings. Now I have a quite an incredible studio, but it happens to be in my home. Because you don't have to be there anymore in a studio. You can just, like, call it in, so to speak. You send them a digital file. What? A digital file? The hell's that? Well, it allows you not to have to do things. But I miss going into the studio and the camaraderie and the annoying people. I miss annoying people sometimes. And then I speak to them, to those annoying people, and I realize I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all. This is preferable. As I've said so many times, that keeping away from people because of the COVID, the 6 feet, keep apart 6 feet. I'd like to keep that part of it active. You don't need to come any closer to me than 6 feet. Actually, let's call it 20 feet and we'll rename it a restraining order. How about that idea? Not a bad one, huh? Well, we're coming to the end of June. Ooh. Yeah, you know what's interesting? When people are named after months, that's like, it's adorable, but it's very specific. I know a girl named June. If it's not June, she's kind of insignificant. I know a wonderful girl named April. That's a wonderful month. Not too hot, not too cold. Things are blooming. There's flowers. It's a pretty cool name if you're going to choose a month. But if it's not April, it's not her month. I don't know anybody named November. That's not a thing. I don't know anybody named May. I've heard of people named May, spelled differently, and also very tentative. What's your name? May. Well, you're not sure? No, May's my name. Oh, it's kind of sounds like you may do this or you may do that, you see. That's not good. That's not good. One of my favorite names is Brooklyn. I don't know why. I mean, I've been to Brooklyn. I lived near Brooklyn at a point. I think it's a nice name. But it's a little too specific. If you live in Brooklyn and your name is Brooklyn, that's enough Brooklyn. It's too much. But it's a nice, I don't know, it's a nice name. What are you going to do about it? Names are weird, huh? I've talked about this before. I've talked about everything before. The strangest name to me is Bob. Because it's the same forwards and backwards, and there's only three letters involved, and it's just Bob, no matter how you slice that name. I mean, it could be Ob, but that's not right. Bob forwards, Bob backwards, it's still Bob. Your name is even a verb. If you have a big vat of apples sitting in water and you want to get the apples out of the vat, then you'll be bobbing for them. So now you're a verb. Are you bobbing today? I am Bob, but I'm not bobbing. To be honest with you, I'm not sure what bobbing really means or why we have to have a word like bobbing. Is it a derivative from the Latin and the Greek? Yeah, probably. Bob. You see, you can get out of that by just say you're Rob or Robert. I don't know. There's Was anybody like legally named Bob? I don't think so. It's possible. Anything's allowed. But it's not really smart. I think if your name is Bob, you're going to be the familiar guy. Hey, who's living down the street? Bob. Bob's down there. I'm going to ask Bob to come over. What are you doing, sir? I'm going to see Bob. It's too familiar. It's too much. Too much on the familiar side. What's your husband's name? Bob. Oh, God, really? And you married?
I asked him to change his name, but he wouldn't. His name's just Bob. They
turned the name Joe into a military name. G.I. Joe. Now you're tagged forever as Joe. You're just Joe. Good old Joe. Good old Joe, the child pervert. Joe. And then, of course, there's John with the Dear John letters. It's just... And then, of course, there's that bathroom. You got a bathroom named after you. I don't know how good that is, really.
I'm going to go to the John.
You mean him or the bathroom?
That's a good question. I don't know.
John's a little too familiar as well. Then they have the real strange names like Spencer, Bartholomew. Someone was drinking that day. Or they just wanted things so different to make sure that your life was upheaved in some horrible manner. I don't know. Some people are named Skip. I don't understand why you're naming somebody after a walking disability or an oddity of movement. But this is what we do. We come up with these crazy names. I feel bad for people named Jennifer. Because that's so common. There's nothing wrong with the name. It's a very pleasant name. It's just everybody's got it. Choose something different a little bit.
Well, when my parents named me, it wasn't a common name.
All right, I get it. I'm sorry. Yeah, you meet somebody in a bar.
How are you? What's your name?
My name's Bob. What's your name? Is it Jennifer?
Why, yes, it is. How did you know?
Well, the odds were that you were named Jennifer. I'm just going with the probability here. And I was right.
Why, do you know a lot of Jennifers?
Yeah, about 20 of them.
Well, how do you differentiate?
Jennifer B, Jennifer C, Jennifer L. Oh. Anyway, this is probably the most pointless show I've ever done. Which is not really saying a lot. Okay. My guest is going to join us momentarily. You might find this quite fascinating, to be honest with you. But before we get into this, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. There's a lot going on this weekend.
Hello, this is Father Mike Slannery from the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church here in town, and I'm excited to tell you about a thrilling new addition to our monthly Friday night bingo game lineup. In addition to classic favourites like Coverall and Four Corners, we'll now be adding Full Contact Bingo. That's right, Full Contact. That's where the friendly community game you love meets the hard-hitting action of football and hockey that you crave. Is Mrs. Smith about to call bingo before you? Hit her with a cross check or crash her into the boards. I should mention that all full contact games will take place in the street hockey rink behind the parish function hall where the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Fighting Sons of Leviticus hold their matches. Protective gear is recommended and weapons are not allowed. And if you feel bad about taking out a friend or neighbour so you can win a few bucks at the bingo, I will be on hand to take your confession. That all starts next Friday night at the Parish Hall at the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church, 27 Eucharist Way, right downtown. We'll see you there.
Maitri Johnson joins us now. She's the Vice President of Tenant Employment Screening at TransUnion. We're talking about, prices are going up on everything, Maitri, that's for sure. And that involves not only homes, but apartments and rentals and all that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I guess first time, I mean, you come out of college and you want to live somewhere, I guess that's a conundrum right now.
It is. It's largely because choices and options are fewer today than mm-hmm. they've ever been. And I think a lot of newer renters are seeing that firsthand, experiencing that firsthand. Yeah. And that's quite simply a factor of insufficient supply. But there are solid reasons on why there isn't enough supply in the marketplace today.
Yeah. I know when I was a young adult, the first place that I moved to was an apartment, was a rental. Is that still the case? Was a trend previous to that, that people go right into their first homes? How is that working these days?
Well, today renting is really the first option mm-hmm. when people are coming out of college, graduating college, getting their first job. Their first place of living is typically a rental apartment. Mm-hmm. And that's generally what we see with the renter demographics as well, is that the 20s, 30s is still very much that renter population. And Gen Z is that new generation that's entered the renter pool.
Right.
And they're really the ones who are now driving a lot of that renter demand because they come into this renter pool now.
Right. Well, I mean, if you don't have the down payment for a home or you're starting out and you don't have the employment salary to maintain a mortgage, then I guess you don't have much of a choice, although I was always told that when you're renting, you're kind of throwing your money away. You have a place to live, but you're getting nothing back. It's like renting a car. Is that still the case?
Well, I think the sentiment has changed mm-hmm. around that. You've absolutely got the younger renters, but you also have what's called renters by choice.
Mm-hmm.
These are individuals who could very easily go out there and buy a condo, buy a townhome, mm-hmm. buy a single family home, but they choose not to. And they choose not to because they don't want all of the other responsibilities that go with home ownership. They're perfectly content and perfectly comfortable renting and not having to worry about all of those other responsibilities that go with home ownership.
That's true. There is a certain comfort that you're paying for, actually, that kind of relieves that stress, I suppose. How has COVID changed? It seems to have changed everything more than we thought it would. We thought something like that would come, and then it would go, and things would be back to normal. Not necessarily the case even with this subject matter. Is that true?
That is, what's really happened over the course of the past 2 years, from 2020 to 2021, as is evidenced in the study that we just released,
mm-hmm.
Is the migration of renters. Renters no longer, with the onset of COVID and everyone working from home, no longer felt the need or the necessity to have to live and work in that same zip code, for example, right?
Yes.
So what we have thought all along over the course of the past 2 years is that there's been a lot of movement across geographies mm-hmm. with renters. But to really see that hypothesis evidenced with data, which we see in the study that we did, 42% of renter applications in our database moved out of state.
Mm.
That's almost half of the renter population.
Wow.
That's a big number.
It is a big number. There's no question about that. I guess one of the driving reasons for getting a home or renting an apartment was near your place of work. No, that's too far away from my job. No, the commutation is too long. That used to be like one of the major considerations.
Absolutely. And that's really what's changed.
Ah.
And that's what COVID has changed. I no longer, as someone who works in downtown Chicago or in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
need to live in a Manhattan zip code or a downtown Chicago zip code. So as a result, I can now move to less expensive geographies and get space, because space has also become an important commodity as we're working from home, especially if you have a family. You've got kids who are doing schoolwork at home.
Yeah.
You've got your own work to do. So space became a very important commodity over the course of the past few years.
Well, I mean, New York City and Manhattan is very exciting, but to live there, you have to be bleeding money. I mean, just like if you have the opportunity not to pay those exorbitant rents in Manhattan, I guess that's a good thing to be able to find something else.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
And I think also the consolidation of families, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a son, daughter moves to the city, gets a big job, you know, finds an apartment, a rental property in that city, now no longer needs to be there.
Uh-huh.
They're moving back home as well. So there's this consolidation of families that's happening as well.
Maitri, is it also the technology? Because I know if people are working from home and that becomes a thing, you need a workspace, you need an office in your home, but now I'm wondering, is that much space really needed even if you're working out of your home?
You know, I think space has became an important part of their decision-making, you know, where they were going to move to next. Particularly if I can save a lot of money by not living in the city, I can actually afford a little bit more space.
Yeah.
So, you know, a 400 square foot studio in New York,
mm-hmm.
where that's all I could get for,
yes.
the, for my budget, I can now spend on 1,400 square feet and have a lot more comfort and space and room to breathe.
Very interesting. You know, when I was growing up back in the 1920s, so it wasn't that long ago, I'm exaggerating. The mortgage rates were, I believe, around 14%, or that was, those are credit card rates. I think mortgage rates were around 8, 9, 10%, and we thought that was okay. Now, if you would consider that a mortgage rate, no one would be moving ever. So I'm not saying I don't know what we're complaining about, because it's all a matter of what you're used to, I guess.
Right.
But things were a lot tougher kind of back in the 70s, weren't they?
Yes, and when you think about the mortgage rates, even if it is 6% today, 6% on a much higher purchase price today.
That's true. It's a lot more
money.
Right,
becomes substantially different.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the supply issues is the fact that now with these increasing mortgage rates, you've got typical renters who would go into first-time home purchases.
Yeah.
Now are backing off that decision or slowing that decision down, becoming renters for a lot longer than they were anticipating.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the inventory counts on that type of movement to free up inventory for options for other renters.
Yeah.
So when you've got renters who would be first-time home buyers staying where they're at for a lot longer, you've got former homeowners who've sold their homes going into rentership, along with all of the other factors, it's created this perfect storm.
Let me ask you a personal opinion. Do you think we're going to moderate and go back to where we were at any given point, or this is pretty much the model that is what's happening and that's it?
So I can't comment on if we'll go back to the way we've been.
Mm.
What I can comment on is what I'm seeing in recent trends.
Mm.
I am seeing a cooling of rental rates.
Mm.
I'll be slightly,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, there is a slight cooling in that rental rate growth or the rental rate increases. And I think that'll start stabilizing more.
Yeah.
And certainly as more inventory comes into the pipeline, options and choices can always make a big difference on how quickly rental rates increase.
Tell me what TransUnion does.
Well, TransUnion as a global company is a risk and information provider to many industries, Tenant and employment background screening is just one of those many industries that we serve. And we use data to be able to produce products and services that really help companies and customers mitigate risk. In my case, in the business I oversee, it's mitigating risk with rental applicants and really making sure that the applicants that companies are getting, whether it's employers or tenants are, you know, financially stable, et cetera. So that is what my business does. The TransUnion as a whole is a global company.
Gotcha. So if someone is listening to this and says, well, I need some guidance here. I'd like to find out more about some decisions I might be making. Where would they go? Is there like a website kind of information place?
Yes, Ron. They can absolutely go to transunion.com and do a search for some of the information that we've talked about here today. I would also add, in the last few seconds we have together, you know, I would encourage renters and property management companies and landlords to get rent payments reported to the credit report with companies like TransUnion, where rent can actually make a difference in increasing your credit score. Especially when they're as high as they are here today, it is the largest check anybody's writing today. People still write checks, right?
Well, I do because I don't trust anything else. But anyway, that's me. Maitri Johnson, you've been a wealth of information. I appreciate the time you spent with us today.
Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I honor you. And I wouldn't say idolize you so much. I can't put you on a pedestal. But you're okay. You're all right, I guess. Whatever. You're not so bad. How was that for you? It wasn't so bad. Oh. That's a pessimistic attitude. Well, because it wasn't so bad. It was bad. It just wasn't so bad that I walked out. But it was bad. Was it not so good? It wasn't good at all. It was not so bad. Not so good would be a step up. No, it was just not so bad. Not as bad as it could be, but definitely in the bad category. Well, would you also say it's not so good? No, because then there was a possibility of good. There's no possibility. This thing was not good. It was bad. It could have been worse. It was not so bad. And it certainly was not so good. All right, fine. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to you. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. But until then, well, I wish you peace.